పంచతత్వ జయ పంచతత్వ పంచతత్వ జయ పంచతత్వ జయో నృసింహదే
Pada Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya Stotara Shat Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda Ki Jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, The Story of King Vena, Text 33-37.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 37 is on the board.
Viksho titan stadopatam. Vikshotitanstadotpatam Ahurlokabhayankaram Ahurlokabhayankaram Apyabhadram manathayam Apyabhadram manathayam Dasyubhyo na bhavet bhuvaha Dasyubhyo na bhavet bhuvaha Vikshotitanstadotpatam Ahur loka bhayankaram Apyabhadram manathayam Dasyubhyo na bhavet bhuvaha. Viksho titans tadotpatam Ahur loka bhayankaram Apyabhadram manatayam Dasyubhyo na bhavet bhuvaha Vikshotitanstadutpatam Loka bhayankaram Apyabhadram manikaram Dasyubhyo na bhavet bhuvaha
Vikshotitanstadotpatam
Ahurlokabhayankaram Apyabhadram Manataya Dasyubhyuna Bhavetbhubaha Vishotitanstadottatam Ahurlokabhayankaram Apyabhadram Manataya Dasyubhyuna Bhavetbhubaha Vikshotitanstadottatam Ahurlokabhayankaram Apyabhadram Manataya Dasyubhyuna Bhavetbhubaha.
Word for word.
Viksham,
having seen,
Uttitan,
developed,
Tadam,
then,
Utpatan,
disturbances,
Ahu,
they began to say,
Lokam,
in society,
Bhayankaran,
causing panic.
Api,
weather,
Abhadram,
misfortune,
Anathaya,
having no ruler,
Dasyubhyaha,
from thieves and rogues,
Na,
not,
Bhavet,
may happen,
Bhuvaham,
of the world.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the sages began to talk amongst themselves. Since the king is dead and there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall all the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. Okay, I will start from shloka 33 and read these five shlokas and then the purport. The saintly sages continued, the impious impudent man. But for King Vena, who is simply inauspicious, who would blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose mercy one is awarded all kinds of fortune and opulence? 34. The great sages, thus manifesting their covert anger, immediately decided to kill the king. King Vena was already as good as dead due to his blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, without using any weapon, the sages killed the King Vena simply by high-sounding words. 35. After all the sages returned to their respective hermitages, the mother of King Vena, Sunita, became very much aggrieved because of her son's death. She decided to preserve the dead body of her son by application of certain ingredients and by chanting mantras, mantra yogena. 36. Once upon a time, the same saintly persons, after taking their bath in the river Sarasvati, began to perform their daily duties by offering oblations into the sacrificial fires. After this, sitting on the bank of the river, they began to talk about the transcendental person and his pastimes. 37. In those days, there were various disturbances in the country that were creating a panic in society. Therefore, all the sages began to talk among themselves. Since the king is dead and there is no protector in the world, misfortune may befall the people in general on account of rogues and thieves. Purport. Whenever there is a disturbance in the state,
or a panic situation, the property and lives of the citizens become unsafe. This is caused by the uprising of various thieves and rogues. At such a time, it is to be understood that the ruler or the government is dead. All of this misfortune happened due to the death of King Vena. Thus, the saintly persons became very anxious for the safety of the people in general. The conclusion is that even though saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. Thus, even though they are always aloof from society, out of mercy and compassion, they consider how the citizens can peacefully execute their rituals and follow the rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma. That was the concern of these sages. In the age of Kali, everything is disturbed. Therefore, saintly persons should take to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, as recommended in the Shastras. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Ivakevalam, Kalao Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Both for the spiritual and material prosperity, everyone should devotedly chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So I got many shlokas, start from the 33. There is one Sanskrit word, Ashubham. So the question the sages are asking here is, who else except King Vena could be so inauspicious or so unfortunate, right? Ashubham. Because after receiving this kind of opulence from the Supreme Lord, after becoming the recipient of His mercy, still He's so ungrateful. So that was the question. And Prabhupada explains, there is a short purport, I'll read it now. When human society, individually or collectively, becomes godless and blasphemes the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is certainly destined for ruination. Such a civilization invites all kinds of bad fortune due to not appreciating the mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada goes to the essence of, to the main point here of the verse, which is appreciation. King Vena, he had all opulence. He was very rich, very powerful. He had even mystic powers. And that is all coming from the Lord. So he was the object of Krishna's mercy. The shloka says, Yad anugraha bhajanaha. He became the recipient of Krishna's mercy. And prapta idrisham aishvaryam. He received such an amazing opulence from the Supreme Lord. Ko vainam parichakshita venam ekam rite ashubam. So who else besides King Vena could be so ashubam, so unfortunate? Right, so that's the key word here, unfortunate. Ashubham, inauspicious. And I was thinking, how it's so important to be grateful for whatever we receive. So if you cannot be grateful, cannot appreciate the things that we have, then Prabhupada says, individually or collectively, if we become ungrateful, then we are destined to ruination. We lose everything. So, once there was, Bhakti Charya Maharaj was speaking to a group of Gurukul boys, and Maharaj was telling them how fortunate they are, because you boys have already taken birth in families of devotees, you live in Mayapur Dham, you're studying the Gurukul. Basically, Maharaj was telling them that you are, by your birth, by your good fortune, you are already at the gates of Vaikuntha. Right? You're already at the gate of Vaikuntha. Now you only need the key to open the gate. So what's that key? So he asked the children, what's the key? What's the only thing missing that so that you can take full advantage of the opportunity that you have? And finally the answer came, that the key was appreciation. So you may have everything, but if you don't appreciate, then how can you use that? Just like you give a Chintamani stone to someone. So a person may see that stone, he doesn't know the value of the stone, and he may use for crushing spices or something like that. Another person may use it to throw in a dog or something. That means they have such a valuable thing, but they don't understand the value, therefore not appreciating, they throw it away, they lose it. But if you understand the value, then you can take full advantage. So we can see that we're all in that situation of receiving the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, of somehow or another being Mayapurdham and being practicing devotional service. So that's a great fortune. If you can appreciate that, then you can take full advantage and go back to Godhead. If you cannot appreciate, if you forget the value, then we lose it. So that's the danger. No? And so King Vena, he got the mercy. He got Anugraha, the mercy of the Lord. He got Ashvaryam, so much opulence. But then because he couldn't appreciate that, Ashubham, he was so unfortunate. So even good fortune can become unfortunate if it's not appreciated. No? So that's some important lesson here. And in this point of appreciation, it is discussed in other places of Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the seventh canto, Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And the question of Yudhishthira Maharaj was, why is the Lord partial to his devotees? The Lord appears to be always protecting his devotees and killing the demons. So I thought the Lord should be impartial. But how can he always be killing the demons and always be protecting the devotees? So it appears that the Lord is partial. And Narada Muni says that the Lord is actually being merciful to everyone. But he reciprocates. A demon wants to fight, okay, he fights. A devotee wants to serve the Lord, to be engaged in loving service. Krishna reciprocates in that way also. So, yayatamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. Krishna is just reciprocating. And with the demons, he's also being merciful because they also get purified and they also become liberated. So Narada Muni, he explains. First he gives an analogy that sometimes a bee or a wasp captures some worm and puts that worm in a corner and is going to eat up the worm. So, but the worm becomes so absorbed in the sight of the bee, that is, because he's being attacked, he's going to be killed by that bee. So by that absorption, the worm also becomes a bee. So in the same way, if we absorb our mind in something, then we develop those qualities. If we absorb our minds in a devotee, and we appreciate, oh, this devotee, he sings so nicely, or he plays mridanga so nicely, or he cooks so nicely, or he's able to do puja so nicely, so many things we may appreciate in a person. So just by appreciation, we start developing ourselves those qualities. We start imbibing those qualities. The more we appreciate that someone is very compassionate, someone is very austere, so the more we develop those same qualities. And the same is true if we criticize someone, because that's another way of fixing the mind on something. No? You may hate someone, you may criticize someone, that I hate this person, I don't like the way he speaks, I don't like the way he walks. And then, after some time, you find out that you're developing the same qualities. So that's it's a fact. And the Bhagavata explains this. Narada Muni is giving the example of the wasp. Elsewhere, there's another example, even more, makes me think even more, no? How we should be very careful. There was one sadhu living in his kuti. And just in front of his kuti, there was a prostitute. And the prostitute was very impressed. And she would appreciate so much that this great sadhu is living here. And all day he's doing austerities, and he's chanting the holy name, and he's living very simple. And he's so detached. And she was very appreciative of the qualities of that sadhu. And the sadhu in his kuti, he was trying to chant, but he was thinking, this shameless prostitute, no? Why she had to live just in front of me? No? Every day so many men are coming inside her house. No, what she must be doing there with all these men. And in that way, he's thinking of the prostitute. So the next life, guess what? So the prostitute became a sadhu, and the sadhu became a prostitute. And so we have to be very careful what we think, where we invest our intelligence, where we absorb our mind. So it's a scientific fact explaining Srimad Bhagavatam, and we should be careful and be very diligently try to apply our intelligence and our mind in favorable things. No? If we think of Krishna always, then we are ready with Krishna and we develop all spiritual qualities. So appreciation is very, very important. We have to learn how to appreciate and to have that consciousness of the bee. Because wherever we go, we can always find good things and always we can find bad things. No matter if you are in Mayapur Dham or if you are in New York, in São Paulo, in Sydney, it doesn't matter, no? Wherever you go, you can always find good things, good people, and you can always find bad things. So, but if you focus in the good things, then you develop, you imbibe those good qualities. We have the example of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, no? That he was so absorbed in chanting Srimad Bhagavatam that even if someone would come and criticize a devotee, he would say that, I don't care, even if this is true, why should I absorb my mind in criticizing this devotee? Why should I repeat again and again these bad things? No? They're just going to create harm for me and for whoever else is hearing all these bad things. So better we just chant Hare Krishna, reach Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's the perfect method for developing all good qualities. So then the next text, it has also, I chose one word, Hankritaya. It explained that the rishis, when they saw that King Vena is so blasphemous of the Supreme Lord, no? Then they kill him. But they kill him just by making sound, a very high pitched sound. Hum kritai. Angry words or the sound of hum. So just by sound they kill the King Vena, right? So it's amazing the power of sound. Again, no, if we speak good things, we chant Hare Krishna, recite Srimad Bhagavatam, so just that sound vibration is so powerful, it's so beneficial for everyone. But if we speak bad things, then automatically we generate bad energy, bad consciousness, and we can feel, no? When you glorify someone, once in the Bhaktivedanta Manor, we had a kind of a Namahata program with many devotees there, and then one devotee, he asked everybody to sit with a partner and discuss with the partner about, like, you should tell the good qualities that you see in the other person, and the other person should tell your good qualities, and you should discuss like that for a few minutes. And then after that, the devotee asked every group, everyone to go in front and glorify his friend. So for like half an hour, everybody's just engaged in glorifying each other. Then he asked, how did you feel? And everybody was feeling very light-hearted and very, like their heart was blossoming. And then he said, okay, what do you think that would happen if you'd be criticizing people? So the opposite would happen, the heart would close, no? And the heart is compared to a lotus. So if you glorify, if you speak nice things, you chant Hare Krishna, you speak about Bhagavatam, the heart is blossoming, no? And if you criticize people, then your heart is closing. That's why you have Cheto Darpana Marjanam Baba Mahata Vagri Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So Vitaranam means to spread, not to open. So the Shriya Kairava, which is the lotus of good fortune, which is the heart of the devotee, no? Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. So just as the lotus blossoms under the moonlight, the heart of the devotee blossoms when he chants the holy name. Right? So that's the effect of chanting. And that's the power of transcendental sound. there was an experiment made by a Japanese scientist. No? Probably many of you saw that in the internet or somewhere, that he took glasses of water and he would expose that water to some sound. Sometimes a good sound, like people would be praising each other, saying, thank you very much, I love you so much. And you take that water and freeze the water and take a picture of the crystals. So the crystal of the water would have very nice shapes, would form like mandalas, and it would be very beautiful. So he has many pictures, and you can see in the internet, the sound of thank you very much has a shape, no, like a star, very beautiful. The sound of different sounds like that, no, or the sound of prayers. One person was praying to seven goddesses, kind of Lakshmi, seven types of Lakshmis. And the person was just meditating on those seven goddesses of fortune. And then after his meditation, they took a picture of the water. And the water had, it was like a seven-sided star with seven, how to say, rays. And it was golden in color. Another one was they took a flower and they put the flower there in the water. And then they took a picture of the water and it had the shape of the flower, the same shape. So very amazing how just the sound or just even the good intention, good vibration, it would affect so much the water to the point that the crystals, the molecules of the water would change the shape. So can you imagine the effect of chanting Hare Krishna? Even in our gross body, which is made of water, they say more than 60% of water. So we can imagine how much purified we get and how much transformed we can get just by chanting the holy name, just by speaking about Krishna, just by glorifying other devotees, etc. So from these two shlokas, one thing that we can learn is that it's very important to somehow or another fix our mind on Krishna. The description of Narada Muni in the seventh canto, that he was given the example of the wasp and the worm and how not just by being absorbed in something you develop those qualities. Then he goes on to say that different people, they achieve perfection by in different ways. He says, for example, Kansa Bhayat, Kansa by fear, he achieved perfection. Gopis, they achieve perfection by kama, lust. Shishupala, by envy. And like that, different people, no? By different kinds of emotions. But because they're all absorbed in Krishna, then what happens is that the bad side, like Shishupala was envious, but because he was always saying the name of Krishna, always think of Krishna, then he became eventually purified of that envy. And he got liberation. Right? And he went back to Godhead. And he was a special case because he was actually Jaya or Vijaya. So he went back to Godhead. Other demons, they didn't achieve a personal association with Krishna, but they got impersonal liberation. In any case, they got purified and they achieved liberation. And the devotees, they actually achieved Goloka Vrindavana or Vaikuntha, and they have eternal relationship with Krishna. So, it's not all the same level, but all of them got benefit. So Narada Muni says that somehow or another, Tasmat kenapi upayena mana Krishna niveshayet. By any means, somehow or another, no, we should somehow fix our mind on Krishna. That's the conclusion. Because Krishna is so purifying that even if you have impurities, those impurities, they become cleansed. And then only the good side, that you are chanting Hare Krishna, that credit you have, and you go back to Godhead. So it's very important to somehow or another learn how to fix our minds on Krishna, how to appreciate Krishna and his devotees and their qualities, and then we can develop them and make spiritual progress. So then you go to the next shloka. It says, Rishibi Swashrama Padam Gati Putra Kalivaram Sunita Palayamasa Vidya Yogena Shochati. So Vidya Yogena, Sunita, the mother of Vena, she protected, she kept the body of her son by putting it inside oil and chanting different mantras. And that's how she protected, she preserved the body. She was very sad that her son was killed by the sages. So she put the body inside a container with oil and she chanted mantras. And in that way she was able to keep for a long time the body of King Vena intact. So it's amazing science. Again, it's the science of mantra, transcendental sound, no? And this reminded me of another experiment of the same Japanese scientist. No? He made an experiment with water and he also made one experiment with rice. He just boiled rice and he put in two containers. Okay? And so he put in the container and he locked the container, okay, airtight container. And he wrote outside the container, "I love you" in one container and "I hate you" in the other one. And then he gave that to in a school, he gave that those two containers of rice to the children. Because the children are very innocent, they're not going to rationalize anything or to try to understand. He just said, "Oh, you all take this container and you read it, whatever is written there, and give it to your friend." And then he reads and he gives to his friend. And all the children like that, no? "I hate you, I hate you," and give it to the other one. "I hate you," and give it to the next one. And then at the same time in another classroom, they are taking the container and saying, "I love you," and giving to the next friend. "I love you," and giving to another one. So at the end of 30 days, doing that every day, the pot which they are saying, "I hate you," the rice is completely black, completely, how do you say, decay? No, completely bad, all black. And the pot which was saying, I love you," no? The rice was the same thing, just white, nothing happened. And they show the pictures. Now if you look at the experiment, they have the picture of one, the picture of the other one. So just because they're saying something good or saying something bad, there's such an impact. So like that, no, it's the power of sound. So she put the body of her son inside the oil and she started chanting many mantras for protection. And she preserved the body in that way. So the power of sound is something that nowadays we're not so much aware, but in Vedic times they knew that you can cure by sound and you can kill by sound. Even nowadays there are some people who know how to cure by mantras. Now, there was a devotee here in Mayapur a short time ago, just a couple of years ago, he was bitten by a snake and then they took him to a tantric here, and by chanting mantras he removed all the poison from his body, you know? And he saved him. So just like that, just by chanting mantras. And also another example that I didn't see personally, but I came to know, was in the army, at least in my country, in the army, there is a rule that whenever the troops are marching and they have to cross a bridge, they have to stop marching and start walking normally. Because when you march, you hit the floor, you hit the ground strongly with the feet, no? And everybody hits the ground at the same time. No? All the soldiers, like 100 soldiers or 200 or 500 or 1,000 soldiers all marching, they all hit the ground at the same time. So it creates a type of rhythm. And just by that sound, once a troop of soldiers was crossing a bridge and the bridge broke. Everybody fell inside the river. So from that time, they realized that the sound, sometimes if you get the right pitch, you can break glass, you can break even a bridge, right? So from that time, it's forbidden to any group of soldiers to cross any bridge marching. It's a rule, no? The first thing you learn you come to the army, you learn that whenever you come to a bridge, you have to stop marching. So these are examples of the power of sound. So again, it's very important for us to apply that in chanting Hare Krishna, in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and in glorifying the devotees. No? So it came to Shloka 36. So 36 and 37. In 36 there is a word, Satkata. So the sages, they long time after that, they met at the bank of the Sarasvati River, and they are speaking Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. But then they remember that the whole society was suffering because the king was not there, and therefore so many thieves started creating panic in society. So he said that it's better to have a bad leader than no leader at all. Without a leader, then there's no rule. Everybody's doing whatever they like, and the bad people, they become prominent, and they take advantage of that. And the good people, they are destroyed. So Prabhupada says in the purport that whenever there is no rule, the government is dead, then the property and the life of the citizens become unsafe. So, and then Prabhupada makes a very interesting point that even though saintly persons have no business in political affairs, they are always compassionate upon the people in general. So, they don't want to take over the power, they don't want to become kings, but the sages are very concerned. They are genuinely concerned with the well-being of the people, therefore they want to do something. So that's the very difficult thing, no? Because the sages, they usually don't want to interfere and get involved in politics. They just want to worship the Supreme Lord, to discuss his pastimes, but they take the trouble sometimes to get involved because they want the welfare of everyone. So Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan to go to America and to travel all the world because he was feeling compassion, concern that the whole world is going to hell and there is a lack of Krishna consciousness everywhere. So we need to preach. So Prabhupada went. No, he took the trouble even though they don't feel inclined to do that, but they do out of compassion. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam also, the first shloka, no, after the three shlokas of the Mangalacharna, then Naimishe Animishakshetre Rishaya Shaunakandayaha Satran Swargaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. So it's explained that the sages, they came together understanding, no, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. They came together to perform a sacrifice of 1,000 years trying to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga. So even though they have nothing to do with any material situation, they're just absorbed in spiritual topics, you know, but still they are concerned for the people in general, and they discuss how to save the world, how to create welfare to everyone. So this is a symptom of a devotee, especially the most advanced devotees. They have that strong feeling of compassion. No? So Prabhupada, in the same mood like like Prahlada Maharaj, no? He would feel that I don't want to just be liberated alone, to go back to Godhead alone. I feel sad for all these unfortunate people, no? Because they don't know what they're doing. They're going to hell. So he wants to save them. He wants to give them a chance to become Krishna conscious. And that's what makes them happy. Okay, so this is the what's going on here. The sages, they kill the king, but they are very concerned now with the well-being of the people. So they consider, what should we do now? The mother of King Vena kept the body intact for a long time by her mantra yoga and keeping side oil. So now, the sages considering all this, they're going to find a solution. So they're going to see in the next days what they're going to do. No? But the main point here is that they're very responsible, they're very concerned for the people in general. They want to make everybody Krishna conscious, they want everybody to follow Varnashrama. And Prabhupada makes the point that in this age, we have to make people chant Hare Krishna, that's what we have to do. And that, especially in this age, no, the potency of the holy name and of transcendental sound vibration is very important. In the whole creation starts from sound. In the third canto is explained how the creation takes place. And at one point is explained that from ether, from sound comes ether, and then after ether comes air and fire and water and earth, one after another. So from the most subtle thing, from sound vibration, all the gross things are generated, right? So Prabhupada, in the purport of that shloka, in the third canto, I think it's 3:26, chapter 26 something, then Prabhupada says that the whole material creation started from sound. And he quotes the Brahma Sutra, or Vedanta Sutra. There's a sutra saying, anyone knows that sutra? It says that, I forgot the sutra. Huh? Couldn't hear. That from sound comes creation. Anavriti Shabda. Okay. From sound, one can anavriti, becomes disentangled from all the material creation, right? So we can become liberated by sound. So then Prabhupada explains the whole material creation started from material sound. In the same way, from spiritual sound, we can create spiritual life, spiritual qualities, and go back to Godhead. Anavriti Shabda. So that's the potency of the holy name. It is explained in different places, right? The first chapter of the Bhagavata also said, just by chanting Hare Krishna, no? Even if the person is completely entangled in this material world, he can immediately become free just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that's the potency, and especially in this age, it's the process you should follow. Okay, so I'll stop it here. If anyone has comments or questions. Yes. Sadhana Mataji?
I'm wondering if somebody's feeling that negativity of being told some negative thoughts, some people can feel them, and sometimes some characters, because they're not maybe normal persons, then they get, people think a lot of negative thoughts on that person as well, you know, they seem to attract it because of the body they've got. So in that, for them to counteract any negative thoughts,
It's hard to hear. If you can try to speak a little louder. Basically you're saying that sometimes people have negative thinking, yeah?
No, I'm asking if sometimes you attract negative thoughts for some reason why someone might think negative of you. So my question is how to counteract people's negative thoughts on you.
Okay, so someone may think something bad about you. Why? Because of your, maybe you have some defect in your body or defect on your behavior, yeah? So how to counteract that bad thinking? Okay, so the first point is that if someone thinks bad of other people, that affects the person and affects the one who is thinking else. Both are affected negatively. I think Bhaktivedanta Maharaj made an experiment like that. He would tell someone to go out of the room and say, everybody thinks something bad about that person. And he would ask the person to do some very easy task, but the person would not be able to do. He would come inside the room and do everything wrong, because everything is just thinking, he's such a fool, and he's useless, and the person would not be able to do anything right. And then the person would go out and everybody would be told, now you think nicely about him. Know that he's so nice and so intelligent, and then the person could do everything so nicely. So it's a fact, no? If I would be sitting here and all of you would hate me, I wouldn't be able to give a class. No, I would get blank and would speak all nonsense. But if the audience is favorable, then it's so easy, because so many things come that you don't even know that you know those things, and just because there is a nice energy there, then it flows. No? So how to counteract? If someone is thinking bad about you, how can you counteract? So, okay, one idea. If you are a well-wisher of everyone, if you try to think good about everyone, people feel that. No, they may not know exactly why, but somehow they feel good about you because you appreciate them, and because you have that good vibration in you, then people tend to also like you. And if you have a bad vibration, you don't like someone, the tendency is that the person also feel bad near you. And so the first thing you can try to do is, we should try to appreciate everybody, no? So doing that, there is a good tendency that people will also appreciate us, or they'll feel good about us. And so that's one thing. But sometimes we have the tendency to also feel bad about someone. So once I heard about an exercise that we should do, that if you have a problem with a friend, that you started fighting with a friend, or a person that you know, or even a family member, sometimes a person has a problem with his father or her father, and for many years that thing may be in the heart, you know, that negative feeling. So that's actually very bad. It's like a poison. You have a poison inside yourself. You're poisoning yourself. So then, this person was recommending an exercise that if you cannot approach the person directly, personally, and apologize or try to personally, the best thing if you can approach the person and try to counteract that. If you cannot do it personally for any reason, then individually you think of that person and you say, oh my dear friend or my dear father or such and such person, I forgive you. Anything you might have done, no, that I know, that I don't know, whatever may make me feel bad about you, now I forgive you for anything you have done. So that's the step one. So the second step is that you ask forgiveness. That I may have done so many wrong things, because of that you may feel upset about me. So please forgive me for anything that I have done, willingly or knowingly or unknowingly. Please forgive me. So that's step number two. Then, after that, you should offer your blessings. That, oh my dear friend, or my dear father, or my dear this or that, please accept my blessings. No, I wish all the best for you. I really want you to be very happy. I want all the best for you. And you feel like that. You offer that blessing to the person. And then, number four, you ask blessings. You say, please, no? Please bless me. I'm so unfortunate, I did so many wrong things, but please bless me so that I can improve. And number five, you embrace or you offer obeisance to that person according to your relationship. You may embrace her or offer your obeisance or somehow offer respects. So like that, by doing that exercise, no, for a few days, you can feel that your relationship starts changing. So at least from your side, you try to cultivate that, and that will help the other person also to change their feelings. Okay, so any other ideas on how to counteract? Yes, Prabhu?
And one way to counteract negative influences is by wearing a Shingaka mantra.
Okay.
A Shingaka mantra would counteract all negative vibrations, influencing and planetary negative vibrations would be counteracted by the Shingaka mantra.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's a good. Okay, so the another way that you can counteract any bad influence, any bad thought or feeling against you is by using this Narasimha Kavacha. Kavacha means is like a shield, no? It's an armor. So Narasimha Kavacha protects you. So yes, thank you, Prabhu. That's another way. Yes, any other thoughts or ideas?
There's another question, yes. Prabhu, about the broad-mindedness of actually appreciating different devotees in the way that they love Krishna. You brought out the different ways people are attracted and appreciate and serve Krishna. Sometimes the envy principle comes, how to develop your broad-mindedness so you can appreciate other devotees. They may excel in their service and that can attract envy. But how to keep broad-minded?
How to be broad-minded? The question is how to be broad-minded. Because if you are broad-minded, then you can appreciate everyone, right? The Uttamadhikari is the most broad-minded devotee. So he can appreciate everyone. But the Kanishadhikari, he is very narrow-minded, so he can appreciate only Krishna, or maybe only Krishna and his guru, but not so many people, no? So, one thing is by spiritual advancement, the more you advance, you purify your heart, the more you can appreciate more and more people. Not to the point that you can appreciate everyone. But in the beginning, it's very difficult to have that. In the beginning, we think that we are the best, and we don't really care about other people. We only think about Krishna and ourselves, and maybe Guru, because we need Guru to approach Krishna. So it's a very important thing, but it's very difficult because it comes with the spiritual advancement. You cannot artificially try to become a Uttamadhikari and appreciate everyone, no? So in the beginning you have to try to become, if you are at Kanishtha stage, then you have to try to become a Madhyama stage. That means you try to preach to others who are in a lower position but who are innocent, and you try to preach to them, and by that you may not have so much genuine compassion, but by trying to preach you start developing compassion and you start purifying your heart, and then you start opening more your vision, no? So like that, by practicing devotional service, by trying to preach, you can open your, broaden your vision. Then you can appreciate more people. Is that okay?
Okay, he said by wearing Nisanga Kavacha, it protects you from negative thoughts. If I wear the Kavacha, my consciousness is nonsense. Will you protect me?
If you wear a kavacha, yeah?
And my consciousness is nonsense.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's going to work. To me, the best thing is chanting the holy name. The Pandavas were thinking of Krishna, and all the work Jodhan was doing didn't affect them. The holy name protects every devotee from any negative force, from anywhere it comes from. You can wear the kavacha, and you're not following the rules and regulations.
Mm.
Anything against you will work. It cannot protect you.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's Krishna. Krishna is the one who protects. So Krishna is present in the holy name, and in this age, that's the most powerful thing. It is the holy name. But Krishna is present also in so many other things, like the deity. Krishna is there. And Krishna is also in the kavacha. Even materially, here in Bengal, there are so many people who the tantrics, they make kavacha to protect you from different things, no? And it works. I saw situations in which people have a problem and they are given a kavacha and it works. So that means Krishna's energy is not only in the holy name, but it's in this age his energy is mostly in the holy name. Krishna invested his energy fully in the holy name. So it's true. Chanting the holy name is the best solution for all problems. But doesn't mean that the deity has no potency, or the prasada has no potency, or charanamrita has no potency, or the kavacha has no potency. Because Krishna invested his energy also in those things, no? So, yeah, it's true. The holy name is the most powerful, but doesn't nullify the potency of mahaprasada or kavacha or any other thing which is connected to Krishna. No? Okay? Any other questions or comments? Okay, so thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.